The Lord be with you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew. Now after the visitors had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time he had learned from the wise men. This was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who are seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, Joseph was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. "He will be called a Nazarene." This is the gospel of Christ. Please be seated. Christmas is, for the most part, one of those times that glows. And I typically think of this Sunday as still being within the glow of the stable. And we come on Christmas Eve and we've got candles and, you know, we're basking in this warm light that comes. And so it's a bit of a shock that our scriptures and our lectionary and our church season brings us first here. This is our first stop out of Christmas, that we have what is often known as both the flight into Egypt and murder of the innocents. And it's a troubling reading to come into, and we can wonder, how does this fit together? How does the glow of the stable connect with what we have just experienced in the reading? We know in our world what it is to lose children. Stanley Hauerwas wrote a whole book reflecting on how we find, especially the loss of children, an utterly meaningless thing. There is death, and then there is the death of a child. And I know on Facebook and other social media, this verse came up with some of the school shootings that have been in our far too recent history. There's something that catches us when we read these kinds of words. theologically, we're drawn to reflect on the solidarity of God with the suffering. And we are drawn to reflect that Jesus did not come into the world to skim over the top of our humanity and go easily into this world that we know. If Jesus came only, you know, we imagine the scriptures, and then he opened gifts and they all celebrated and they had a good time and a great feast and everyone was full and happy and, you know, and then it went on and on. There would be something missing in what we actually need from this narrative, what we actually need from God, what we actually need from Jesus. The passage from Hebrews dives straight in and says it's appropriate even that Jesus suffered. It's appropriate that God's solidarity with us takes the form of suffering, that this is not one who has avoided the fullness of our humanity, but this is one who has entered into the depths of it. We might have the kind of image of a journey happening and a great number of people walking towards some destination. And while they're walking through the jungle and chopping through branches and fighting their way through the mud, there's a helicopter with some dignitary that zooms across, burning all kind of fossil fuel to get to the destination while drinking champagne. And we might think, is that our image of how God is? And someone points back to some lowly fellow in the middle and says, no, the king's back here. He's walking with us. And that is the image we have of Jesus as one who walks with us. And Hebrews says, what he did not take on, the part of the journey that he missed, if he did, we would have no value. We would have no strength from him. We would have no celebration about him if he did not enter into suffering. And so early on in the Christmas story, we come across this oppressive leader who is willing to crush children to crush this notion that God has brought a king. We come across a leader who is willing to enter betrayal of other countries and the wise people of those other countries to crush any threat to his leadership. And we see God moving through that, not skirting the edges, but understanding what it is to be a refugee, what it is to be someone on the run, what it is to someone who suffers. The name escaped me. Karl Barth wrote a book on the Apostles' Creed, and he emphasizes that our Apostles' Creed includes only two words that describe Jesus' life, and they are, he suffered. He suffered under Pontius Pilate is the full expression of Jesus' life in that time. And so God entered a life of suffering so that we would know that God is not apart from us, but walking with us in our midst. It's good for us, I think, to reflect on what suffering is, because we have all kinds of notions that go around as to what suffering is, and I think they send us in the wrong direction. We have the notion of suffering sometimes that if we go to the store before Christmas and the thing that we wanted to buy for our loved one is not there, we feel that some damage has been done to us, that we have become victims of some oppression that has occurred to us. We sometimes, with the weather, feel that some damage has been done to us if on our birthday it rains, or on Christmas it does not snow, or this winter was not cold enough, or it was too cold, or whatever it is that we encounter, and we feel that some harm has been done to us because the weather was not just how we wanted it. I think in our land of plenty, we're hardwired to look for suffering. And so Christians sometimes look and say, Starbucks is not marking their cups the right way. And, you know, we are being persecuted. And our Spanish neighbors who used to rent the annex would say to us, what are you talking about? in Colombia. The communists were over there. We were preaching on the street, and if they did not like what we were preaching, they would shoot us. And that was the Christianity that we grew up in. That was the situation that we encountered. We could speak to Jean and his family about what has been happening in their hometown, where there is a genocide occurring, where there is one group, the oppressors, who are crushing the other group, killing women and children, for I don't even understand the reasons that are going on. We need to say that is persecution. That is suffering. We want to add to that list health things that come onto us and seek to destroy our bodies that we have no control over. That is suffering. When we have the oppression of governments that are forcing us through different means so that there is some harm occurring to us, we want to say that is suffering. We also want to say that those people who are willing to submit themselves in a difficult situation for the sake of another, the way Jesus says, those who lay down their life for another, there is no greater love. We want to say that they are willingly entering suffering and spending their life for another. We want to say that these things are suffering and those other things are just a bad day. We let them go. Weather just comes. Suffering just comes. It is not the result of our stupidity. That's something else. I don't know. Suffering comes from that, from our stupidity. But we want to say something different about that, that we had a choice of entering that suffering. But this oppressive suffering that we encounter in our world, God says, I am with you in that. We learn that it is not taken away. That suffering just comes. We learn that God dwells with us in the midst of it. We do not say that God caused it or brought it upon us. We might say it is like an arrow that flew through the window and happened to catch us. We might say that it was the tree that happened to fall, and for no reason other than the wood cracked and it landed on someone we loved. And there is suffering that comes from this. There is no reason. There is no why that we can push farther into, except to say that this is what is. And the life we encounter is not an if suffering will come, but when suffering will come. And how do we walk through this as a community, and how do we walk through this as individuals? Do we move into the place of, I am a victim and this should not have happened to me? Or do we move into the place of, well, there we are. Here we are on this train going in this direction. We will make the best of it. We will walk together. We will understand that God is with us as we walk. I want to highlight how the scripture invites us into imagination of those who are in particular suffering in our world today. We think of the children who are affected by war. We think of the families that are fleeing their country because they cannot live there. Someone will try and kill them if they stay where they are. We think of situations probably closer to home where there is domestic violence. Joanne Hosh told me Ian knows that the domestic stuff always ramps up around Christmas. There's more booze around, there are higher pressures, and their domestic violence increases this time of year. And so we want to think of those who are in vulnerable relationships, vulnerable situations, who are affected deeply by this. There is no easy word. Even to say God is with you is light comfort in the midst of that. I don't have a grand answer of how we are with people in this. Perhaps to simply join in their humanity and be silent and walk with them. Support the groups that have studied how to support those in domestic violence, those in war-torn situations. How can we support them with our money, with our prayers, with our offering of time as that becomes available? But we are drawn to reflect that if we are not currently in a time of suffering, there are many others who are. And our imagination brings us into a healthy reflection of understanding that these go on in our world. I think movies often do a good job, a good movie, not gratuitous violence, but I think of some of the war movies that are out there that help us understand what that is actually like and gives us a window into what it is for one person to walk through this veil of suffering and to see hope through the other side of that. We are drawn into that imagination and that prayer in our work. And we are also drawn to reconnect the stable and the glow of that light with this difficult reading that we have heard. The writer of Hebrews invites us to join suffering with this hope that we find in God. We are invited to join this suffering with the broken bread we receive on the altar, that as that bread is broken, as Jesus is broken, as God enters suffering, there is room for all of us. There is room for the suffering that we carry in our life. There's room for the suffering that generations before us have carried, that we can find ourselves with Jesus, with God, in a way that, as Hebrews points out, we could never know if Jesus was in the helicopter flying with the champagne. But with us, we may know God, and God may know us in the fullness of our humanity. And so, what do we do with this? When joy comes, we dwell in that joy. When suffering comes, we dwell in that suffering. And the scriptures remind us that God is in both, and neither may have a reason about it. But like the weather, we do our best. We support one another. We care for one another. We walk in hope and understanding that God has entered the fullness of our life so that we might know the fullness of God's love. Thanks be to God.